The murky and serious details which have emerged from the defamation trial brought by Victoria Cross recipient Ben Robert Smith, well, they're well chronicled, and they have been over the last year or so. Robert Smith is suing media outlets for publishing allegations of war crimes from his time in Afghanistan. But apart from those allegations, and they are allegations, messy details of his private life have also been alleged, mostly from his ex-partner. Well, even if Robert Smith's action is successful, how do we gauge the reputational damage which is likely to tag him for years to come? Alex Martin is a commercial lawyer with Taurus Legal Management. He's with me on the line now. G'day, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, Rod. I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for getting up for us on a holiday Monday, which is a... Did you go to the dawn service this morning?
I didn't go. No, I was a bit concerned about COVID, but I watched it on the television.
Yeah, we had the Sydney one here and the Canberra one here, of course, and I guess the Melbourne one, where you are, would be quite just as impressive and reflective as the one up here. Well, let's get down to business. So far, most of the proceedings with the Ben Robert Smith case, they've been defence witnesses testifying for media outlets. And there's been some fairly graphic evidence coming out on personal and military, but can the witnesses that he'll be calling balance the ledger to any degree when it comes to reputational damage? And that's what this interview is all about, the reputational damage which can emanate from defamation proceedings.
Yes, well, that's the million-dollar question. So it's certainly true that the defence witnesses are all finished now, so the defence case is concluded, and that's probably why your viewers would have heard virtually every week we've had a new allegation about what Ben Robert Smith has done both in Afghanistan and in Australia. Mm. And week after week, those allegations seem to be just more and more damning for him and for his reputation. But we are at the end of that, and now we're looking at now Ben Robert Smith will start calling his own witnesses. But I mean, there's examples of five or six witnesses giving the same story, and them being Australian soldiers, and then of Afghan farmers giving a very similar story, and three of those, all about what happened in a particular location. It's pretty hard to imagine that Ben Robert Smith is going to be able to call witnesses that are going to be able to balance the ledger, as you put it. Very unlikely. I think he's shot in a lot of respects.
Yeah, but even if they do balance a ledger, to use that term again, even if that does happen and it's watered down, those allegations are watered down, and you know you don't know what's going to happen in the coming testimonies. But even if came out squeaky clean, the damage is done really for his reputation, isn't it?
Yes, and that's the problem with this particular case and with defamation cases generally, is if you're trying to defend your reputation, then going to court is actually a very difficult place to do that, because court's a public forum, so every allegation that's made in court can be reported in the media. As long as they say this was alleged or this was what the witness said or whatever, then that's a perfectly legal thing to do. You can't stop people doing that. And when you've got a profile like Ben Robert Smith or like some of the other, you know, Johnny Depp or Peter Dutton or all sorts of people who've brought defamation actions, it's very likely that you're going to bring more attention to the allegation rather than sweep it under the rug or rather move on from it. And we all know that the media cycle moves quickly normally, and so if you just ignore something, it may well be a better approach than bringing a defamation action.
Quite often it's the case where if media is looking like facing defamation proceedings, they'll issue an apology or a withdrawal or something like that. And it's sort of settled out of court, and sometimes that could... I'm not talking specifically about Ben Roberts' case at all, but in many cases where defamation issues are brought to the court, they can be avoided, really, if the media people or the media proprietors decide, OK, well, you know, we'll do a risk assessment here, we'll possibly save ourselves a lot of money, just issue an apology, maybe a withdrawal, whatever, and move on.
Yes, well, in fact, there's new legislation out, the Defamation Act, which is relevant in all states and territories of Australia, which requires the parties to do what they call a concerns notice before they issue defamation proceedings. So that's new. You can't just go out and sue someone. You've got to write this concerns notice, which should give the parties an opportunity to meet and discuss the issues and to address if there's been, you know, some overstatement of a fact, perhaps to issue a clarification or an apology or a withdrawal if that's appropriate. To give the parties an opportunity to sort it out beforehand. And that certainly should have been the case or would have been great for everyone, I think, if it was the case here. But I think what's going on behind the scenes here is you've got, you know, on one hand, you've got the Ben Robert Smith side, and Ben Robert Smith was an executive in Seven West Media.
That's right.
And so you've got Kerry Stokes on that corner, if you like. And then on the other side, you've got Channel 9 and, you know, the who owns The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald and so on. And so you've got two huge media conglomerates sort of in each corner in the litigation. So I think what's going on in the context of it means that it's very difficult to settle.
Yes, I think getting back to the question that, you know, it seems to me that it's often a case where people who launch defamation proceedings get more than they actually wished for.
Yes, that's certainly the case. So I think if you were to look at any of the sort of the big names, you know, the Julian Morrow case, which has just come out, the Christian Porter, you know, Craig McLaughlin, Rebel Wilson, all of these people issued defamation proceedings. And I don't think that any of them ended up where they sort of wanted. And I do wonder whether, you know, they've got a kind of a strategy behind. What I do every day is do litigation strategy, try and work out what's the strategy in this litigation, what are we trying to achieve, what's the likely evidence, what's the likely, you know, what's going to happen in the context to the reputation. You know, is this going to end up a public mudslinging match, which this effectively has, and who's that going to benefit? And I think it probably actually benefits Channel 9, or benefits, you know, one side of the media equation, because it gives you more fodder for the media.
Alex, can the fear of reputational damage actually discourage people from taking defamation action, even if there is a good chance that they'll win?
Yes, it certainly can. So I think in this case, it probably should have, and this is certainly an example of reputational damage exceeding probably the original damage to the reputation. So yes, I think it can mean that you don't bring the action at all, which is a shame. I mean, I think even if Ben Robert Smith achieves, if he's successful and there's an order against the defendants, and if there's an apology issued, I mean, that will help him a lot. But I think to some extent, the reputational damage is done in the minds of the public.
Yeah. I guess in his case, it's descended into a mudslinging exercise so far. But do you reckon that, you know, getting back to my first point, my first question, can that be turned around in the next phase, do you think?
Oh, it is possible. So if he was to produce a lot of very credible evidence discounting the allegations that are made against him, then that were to lead to the judge making a finding that it's more likely than not that his story was correct, and that he didn't participate in the unlawful killings, or he didn't, you know, commit the domestic violence or whatever he's accused of, then an apology was issued. I think that's got to go a long way to making, casting him as a kind of a wronged man rather than as a war criminal.
It's an interesting one, and I guess it's still unfolding, so we've got to leave it there. But it's a pleasure to talk to you, Alex. Thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Rod. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Alex Martin, commercial lawyer with Taurus Legal Management in Melbourne.